Evening, we're picking up where we left off last time in Proverbs chapter 12. We finished chapters 10 and 11 last week, so chapter 12 tonight, maybe even chapter 13 tonight as well. The message is entitled Wise Words to Live By Part 2. Guess what last week's message was entitled? Wiser Part 1, that's right. Now, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are actually a series of short sermons, about 15 in all. Chapter 10 then begins the next section of Proverbs, which are short statements drawn from long experiences. We will often see in this section a particular type of Jewish poetry, that which is contrasts, where Solomon will say, this is bad, but this is good. The evil do this, but the righteous do that. The evil end up like this, but the righteous end up like that. Contrasting between good and evil. So now, here we come to the second installment of Wise Words to Live By. Verse 1 says, whoever loves instruction, and I have to believe that because y'all have come out here on a Wednesday night to open your Bibles and to read God's Word, and by the grace of God, maybe I'm able to somehow shed a little light on it. You love instruction. You love knowledge. You want to know more. You want to retain that biblical information. But in contrast to you are those who hate correction. They're stupid. Notice it's what it says. He who hates correction is stupid. Apparently, a stupid person does not want to be corrected with that attitude of no one's going to tell me what to do. And like the Frank Sinatra mentality, I did it my way, you know, a fool that hates instruction. To assume to know all is prideful, arrogant, and downright stupid. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So those who think they know it all, man, they're some of the nicest people you never want to be around, right? To hate corruption or correction is, as he says, they're stupid. Verse 2, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions, he, God, will condemn. You know, it's interesting how the laws of man, and I don't know if you've heard any talk about laws and politics lately at all. You know, certainly nothing that people are obsessed with. That's all we're ever hearing, aren't we? It's interesting about the laws of man. They can only judge actions. But the laws of man cannot judge intentions. God's word, God's law is able to do that which man's law can never do. God's law judges intentions. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. God is able to divide that which you and I, we look at the soul and the spirit and what's the difference. There's an eternal part of us, but then there's the conscious part of us and the conscious eternal and then the conscious living. And we're confused over these things, but God's word is able to get in there and divide between these things and of joints and marrow. And notice, is a discerner, it's a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so someone might say, well, I've never done this. Well, yeah, but have you wanted to? I've never committed adultery. Yeah, but have you looked at another person and lusted after them? I've never murdered anybody. Well, have you had hatred in your heart? And so God's word is able to divide and judge the intents of the heart. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And that not of myself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone, especially me, should boast. So a man of wicked intentions, God will condemn. Praise the Lord that we are born again through Jesus Christ. Verse 3, a man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. Because the righteous person has come to faith in Jesus, and he or she is therefore declared righteous before God, and their lives are now built upon the foundation, the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when the storms of life come, not if, but when, the wicked will be washed away, but you and I, we will remain forever. Verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. You know, the reverse is also true. An excellent husband is the crown of his wife, but he who causes shame is like rottenness to her bones as well. Marry well. And if you're married, and if you're not exactly thrilled with your marriage, then let me suggest, deal with the man or the woman in the mirror. Sometimes couples, they get into tough spots. Well, she always does this. He always does that. They're not concerned about my needs and all. And well, wow, wait. There's only one person in that marriage you can truly control. And that's that person in the mirror. Husband, are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church? Wife, are you submitting unto your husband as unto the Lord? Are you respecting your husband as the scripture says? Or do you think he's just a big dumb buffoon? Or do you think that your wife is just a big nag? No, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And again, I've said it before, I'm going to give you the key to a happy marriage. Are you ready? Yes, Jesus, of course, he's the answer for everything. And that's a good answer. But I'm going to give you a practical key to a happy marriage. Happy, successful marriage. Are you ready for this? Who knows where I'm going with this? You do? What is it, Mike?
Just be really, 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 really nice to each other.
There you go. Be really, really nice to each other. There you go. Happy marriage. Now, if the husband's waiting for his wife to be nice to him and she's waiting for her husband to be nice to her, then we got a standoff. It's not going to happen. So, right now, determine. Do not be one who causes shame. Be the excellent one that puts a crown on the head of the spouse. Verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Seems obvious, right? But the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Have you ever listened to somebody who has a story to tell and they're passionate about something and you walk away just kind of confused? You know, I do that sometimes when I watch the news. And I hear them making these passionate pleas, and then the establishment is wrong here, and they're wrong there, and they bring up issues and things, and I walk away like, either I'm really dumb, except I might be, or those people are wicked, and they're deceitful. And that's why I walk away confused. I'm angry, I'm upset, but I don't know why. Have you ever felt like that? You watch the news, and whether it's uber conservative or uber liberal, one way or another, something in between, as if there was something. And you just walk away like, I don't understand the point they're making, but man, am I upset. It's because they're wicked. They're spinning something. They're selling something, gang. Keep in mind, they all have an agenda. So the words of the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are, lie in wait for blood, take advantage of people. But the mouth of the upright will deliver them, because we're warning people. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. You know, there's a heavenly place Jesus is building for you right now. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go and I prepare a place for you. And I will come again to take you to be where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. How cool is that? House of the righteous will stand. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Better is one who is slighted, thought little of, but yet has a servant, than he who honors himself but lacks bread. In a very general sense, it's better to be thought of as nothing but yet have something, as to being thought of being something when you have nothing. So Solomon here is telling his sons, don't be pretentious trying to convince others you're something when you're really nothing. It's not about your reputation. You know, man is concerned about his reputation. They spin things. They try to get out there. They have PR people. The rich and famous, they have PR people trying to present them as something when really they're something completely different. That's just the way of the world. Man is concerned about reputation. God is concerned about character. The real me when no one's looking. Who am I then? He who has a perverse heart will be despised. So it's better to be slighted. If people don't think much of you, but yet you're a good person, a right person, and you have something, that's fine. Reputation, who cares? It's God's opinion of us that matters. Verse 10, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. Whether you have pets or whether you have cattle, if you take care of them, that's a sign that you're a righteous person. But the tender mercies, the best that the wicked can do, are cruel. I tell you, it makes me upset when people are cruel to their animals. The other day, down Memphis Arlington Road here, Amanda saw this dog. It had been abandoned, been neglected. It was super skinny and left to die. And praise the Lord, we were able to kind of get it and clean it up a little and take care of it and get it into the Bartlett Animal Shelter, where they don't put animals down, but they're kind of getting them to be healthy. If you're in the market for a dog, let me tell you something. This thing was super sweet. Somebody showed it a little bit of kindness, and that thing didn't want to leave my side. And we broke our hearts. And to think that somebody could do that to a helpless animal, it's just wicked. Then you compound that by several hundred thousand, and there are people out there that think nothing of kidnapping little girls and trafficking them. How can that be? How can that be? Wrath is being stored up for the day of wrath, and Jesus is coming back soon, and he's going to right every wrong, and every wicked person is going to be destroyed. I keep wondering, Lord, why are you being so patient? Why? How? Your patience is something else, God. Because I would have judged this world a long time ago. But the Lord's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's waiting for that last person to finally say, okay, I believe in Jesus, and then boom, we're out of here. And if you have not yet believed in Jesus, you might be that last person, and I command you to get saved tonight. Okay? And if I find out you're the last holdout, when we get to heaven, we're going to have words. Verse 11, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. So if you work, you're going to have something to show for it. But he who follows frivolity, partying, is devoid of understanding. Now, the wise person considers consequences. If I plow and plant today, then I'll have something to eat tomorrow. But if I party today, then I'm going to go hungry tomorrow. So the wise person plows while the fool parties. And in the end, the wise person gets to eat, whereas the fool goes hungry. Now, the wicked covet the catch of evil men. Oh, man, look how prosperous they are. Look how much they have. The lifestyles of the rich and famous. and they envy those who are wicked that amass wealth. But the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked are envying while the righteous are blessing, using what they have to bless others. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. Eventually, through his own words, that guy's going to hang himself. But the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense, the payback of a man's hands will be rendered to him. In the New Testament, it's not karma according to what the Hindus say, but there is the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. God's not going to let anybody get away with anything. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. So if I'm sitting in front of the computer all day long and the TV and listening to carnal things, watching bad things, if I'm sowing to my flesh, eventually rottenness is going to come out of my life. But he who sows to the Spirit, if I'm listening to godly music, reading the Bible, I'm seeking after the Lord, seeking to be a witness, a discipler, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. And that's what Solomon is telling his sons here. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. No one's going to tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. Are the last four words of a redneck, hey, Bubba, watch this. The words of a fool are, I know what I'm doing. But he who heeds counsel is wise. Now, a fool's wrath is known at once. Why? Because a fool is hot-tempered. Some people blame their ancestry for why they're hot. Well, I'm hot-tempered because I'm Irish. I'm hot-tempered because I'm Italian. I'm hot-tempered because I'm Hispanic. I'm hot-tempered because insert the culture, insert the race, the creed or whatever. Every creed and color and stripe and type is hot-tempered because we're all born according to the flesh. A fool's wrath is known as once. Guy blows up easily, it's because he's a fool. But a prudent man covers shame. Has anything ever made you angry and upset? The way that you were treated, the way a loved one was treated, the way it never been upset, right? Everything's been easy peasy. If somebody upsets you and you go in guns a-blazing, what's that going to accomplish? What's that going to do? But if you go in and you're trying to cover shame, be a blesser instead of a curser. That's a sign of a wise person. In Proverbs, we read, any fool can start an argument. It takes a wise person to be a peacemaker. Verse 17, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, of course, but a false witness, deceit. So false witness deceives. They lie. If somebody lies, what are they? What do you call them? A liar. Huh. And so you run across people who say, well, I'm a good person. Oh, really? Have you ever lied? Whether it be a big lie or a small little one? Oh, yeah. What do you call someone who lies? Man, that was stereo. You guys were quick on that. Politician, there you go. Yeah. Liars lie. So when somebody says, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, you guys, we all need to remember Revelation 21, verse 8, the second part of it that says, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Where do liars go? They go to hell. You shall not murder. Jesus said, you hate somebody in your heart, you're guilty of murder. You ever hated somebody in your heart? You're a murderer. Murderers go there too. So a false witness speaks deceit because they're headed for hell. You and I carry two things throughout our lives. Our name and our word. Those are the only two things that we will always carry throughout our lives, our name and our word. If our word is good, trustworthy, truthful, we will have a good name. But if our word is not trustworthy because of being deceitful and not exactly telling the truth, our name is mud. Again, it's not about reputation, it's about character. Now, in verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. Okay, I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm really going to let them have it. We need to learn how to speak the truth in love. Considering ourselves, as the scripture says, how would I want to receive this? There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Man, I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You know what I found? When I give people a piece of my mind, I have less mind than when I started. And the more I give people a piece of my mind, the less brain I'm left with. The truthful lip, verse 19, shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. That's cool. Reminds me of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You know, in this world, you and I, we will have trouble with people. That's just how it is. Even in the church is a perfect, wonderful thing until you start putting people in it. That's just how it is. We love one another because Jesus told us to. But some you like a little more than others. And inevitably, when you hang out with somebody long enough, you're going to be a little bit of friction. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons or daughters of God. Verse 21, no grave trouble. This means some disastrous calamity, grave trouble, will overtake, will be able to overcome, and make a person mourn over a total loss. So no total loss, no sorrow over a total loss will come to the righteous. I've suffered loss. How about you? But have we been overcome by it? Or are we still here? No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Oh, I'll say. Outer darkness, wailing and gnashing of teeth, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Apparently, Solomon had dealt with a lot of liars in his day. And so he's telling his sons, you got to watch out for them liars. So lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. A prudent, careful, cautious, calculated in a good way. A prudent man conceals knowledge. They don't go around as a know-it-all. They pick their spots. But the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Hard workers with a good attitude will be promoted, but God cannot bless lazy. Verse 25. This is one that that really is important in our day and age. Anxiety, well, they all are. Let me make that point. Every one of these words here in the scriptures are important. But this can really bring peace to a troubled heart. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. I battle depression. Okay, what's making you anxious? Because at the root of depression is anxiety. So we can find out what it is that makes a person anxious and then help that person deal with that anxiety, then depression, at least from what I read here, depression is going to go away. Anxiety of the heart causes depression, but here, a good word makes it glad. Okay, what good word? What is a good word? Well, no better word than the word of God, right? If I'm suffering and hurting, I'm going through a difficult patch, I really don't need someone to offer me well wishes. It's not really what I need. What I need is God's word. Because the best intentions I have for you or you have for me fall short. They're temporal. As we mentioned earlier, only God's word is living and powerful. My words, not so. And only God's word is able to help pull me out of the pit of depression onto the solid ground of God's peace. Anxiety of the heart causes depression. I need a good word. I need God's word to deal with that anxiety that is causing me to be depressed. And then I'll have victory. A good word makes the heart glad. Verse 26. I don't have any tattoos, but if a young person says, I'm thinking about getting a tattoo, I would strongly suggest they get this next verse tattooed on them so that everybody can see it. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Not a great verse? Son, daughter, you want to stay out of trouble? You choose your friends carefully. Now, in our culture, it's true even way back when I was in school, friends were so important, more important than parents. Way more important than parents. And what my friends thought, that was of utmost importance. What my parents thought, too bad on them. I didn't care. It's all about my friends. You want to do yourself an exercise in this? Go find your old junior high and high school yearbooks. Turn to the back where people would write well wishes to you. Have a rad summer, best friends forever. And you read those things and you think, who in the world was that? So important at the time, but not anymore. The righteous needs to choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads him astray. I had two really, really, really close friends growing up, and they started to dabble in drinking and kind of getting a little carnal that way. And at some point, I had to say, enough. I can't do this. I can't hang out. If this is what you guys want, I'm just convicted. I'm not being a holy Joe here and holier than thou. I just can't handle this. I am feeling so guilty. I just can't hang out with you guys if you're going to do this anymore. We need to take that stand with who we choose to be friends, and especially young people. You got young daughters and sons. You need to get a T-shirt with this verse on it and give it to them. Verse 27. This is kind of a close to home verse for me. Not the first part, I hope. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but the diligence is man's precious possession. Now, I like to consider myself as an outdoorsman. I have zero patience and respect for hunters who go shoot an animal just for its head as a trophy to hang on their wall, but then afterward have nothing to do with the meat. That, to me, is just disrespectful. Processing an animal for its meat is very labor-intensive. So if you're out there in the woods and a deer comes by and you, somebody asks me, well, have you caught a deer lately? You don't catch deer. It's not catch and release. I got you, Bambi, now be free, you know. No. No catch and release. But once that deed is done, then the work begins. A lot of work. Several hours in processing it. But I'll tell you something. It's all worth it, because at the end of that, you stand back and you look at your freezer and it's full of meat, pure organic protein that you yourself have harvested. What a precious possession. Now, I'm not trying to encourage you all to take up hunting, because I want you to leave some deer for me. But the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. He's a lazy man who just shoots the animal and then has the head taxidermied and then goes about his business. That's no. And I'm sure this applies to other things in life. But since he talks about hunting, that's how I'm applying it right now. Verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life. And in it, in its pathway, the righteous pathway, there is no death. So wait. I thought I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's true. But I'm going to die. Not really. You realize you're not going to, as a Christian, you're not going to die. You're going to move. Oh, there's a big abrupt movement going to happen. You, the eternal you, is going to move out of this meat sack into a glorious heavenly body that is perfectly fit for eternity. I'm not going to die. If you read in the newspaper, John Pilavant died, don't believe it. John Pilavant moved. That's an accurate description. How many of you are looking forward to moving day? Out of this old body into the new? Yeah. Come, Lord Jesus, right? In its pathway, the pathway of righteousness, and you are righteous because of Jesus, there is no death. Because you're going to move. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53, for this corruptible, these old meat sacks, these bodies, must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And what a day that's going to be. Can't wait. No death for the believer, just a radical moving. Proverbs 13, more wise sayings to live by. This might be an additional tattoo you get for your children. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, or a t-shirt, have it printed on it. But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Think about, we've read in Scripture, the scoffer comes to ruin. The mocker, the kid who's like, my parents are so lame. You know, and it's no fair how the world has been training our kids to be scoffers. Years ago, I remember in a Taco Bell commercial, there were these young tweens, these two brother and sister, and they're in the back of the family station wagon, and they're just so disgusted that they have this dumb station wagon to have to ride in. And their parents were such dorks. And they said, wouldn't it be great if dad were like this? And all of a sudden the dad changes into this cool rebel guy. And mom was like this. And she turned into this grungy whatever. And then the dad turns around, the real dad, and he looks all dorky. He's dressed like in a weird goofy shirt and big glasses, and he goes, okay, kids, let's go to Taco Bell. And then the boy goes, well, at least dinner won't be lame. But our kids, are being trained to disrespect and disregard their parents as being lame. That kid needs a smack. Now, I've eaten Taco Bell since, because I forgive, and I like cheap tacos. But still, that's just one example of the world and the culture in which we live. Kids are being trained to be disrespectful. A couple of you, at least, are teachers in high school or wherever. I mean, you see it more than we do, don't you? Where does this disrespect come from? It comes from Taco Bell and other places like that. The world. The wise son heeds the father's instruction. The foolish, stupid, scoffer kid doesn't want to listen. You know, it's funny. Kids that think their parents are stupid, just wait till those kids grow up a little bit and want to get a car loan or a house loan. Oh, boy, the parents are going to become very smart at that point, won't they? Oh, you do know something. Verse 2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Beware of people who have an appetite for violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he opens wide his lips shall have destruction. There's this really, really cool proverb in Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. In other words, he who has a smart mouth is begging for a fat lip. Verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Kind of sounds like the young generation we live in, feeling all entitled. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Again, God won't bless lazy. Verse 5, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Wicked have no problem with lying because they're fools. They're only considering getting themselves out of their situation right here, right now, not considering the outcome of their choices, which Solomon says will end in shame. Righteousness, verse 6, guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Only have themselves to blame for their destruction. There was one who makes himself rich yet has nothing. Some of the wealthiest people on the planet are the most miserable people on the planet. And one who makes himself poor, they give a lot, yet they have great riches. Because as Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And God promises to abundantly bless the generous giver. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, Jesus says, it will be given to you. You can never outgive God. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, how much you give is how much you're going to get. Same measure you use will be measured back to you. Don't lay up treasures on earth, Jesus said, but lay up treasures in heaven. Verse 8, the ransom of a man's life is his riches. So if you're rich, you may get kidnapped because the kidnappers know that you have money. But the poor does not hear rebuke. Nobody bothers with the poor. So I guess if somebody's poor, there's at least one good thing about it. No one's going to mess with you. You have nothing to offer. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. It's a metaphor for if you're righteous, your life is going to be like a light. But if you're wicked, you're going to be put out. By pride comes nothing but strife. How come I'm always at odds with people? That's because I'm prideful. That's what it is. It's not that they're all wrong and I'm the only one right. No, that's pride. By pride comes nothing but strife, but by the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. You've heard the phrase, easy come, easy go, right? But he who gathers by labor will increase. God won't bless lazy, but he will bless the diligent, hard worker. Verse 12, hope deferred means you're hoping in something, but it's not happening right now. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Y'all know what that's like, right? You hope for something and it seems to take forever to happen. At that point, that person can become anxious, depressed, sick of heart. Even if we're hoping for spiritual things, a powerful move of the Spirit. I'm hoping, praying for a powerful move of the Spirit here at Calvary Chapel Bartlett. I'm hoping and praying that the prayer meeting be filled with people that are pouring out their hearts to the Lord. I'm hoping and praying that people get saved and that saved people get on fire to reach out to other non-believers. I'm hoping and praying that God will provide one day a new worship leader, an additional youth minister, and children's ministry teachers. And yet these things that I've been praying for a long time just don't seem to be coming as quickly as I wish. And to be as perfectly honest and as candid as I can be, sometimes it's a little depressing. That's just how it is. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when that desire comes. And last Sunday night at the prayer meeting, it was pretty cool. Saw a little spark. A little thing happening. And I'm excited. When the desire comes, it is a tree of life. What a blessing. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. To despise what the Bible says is to despise Jesus, because Jesus is the very word of God. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. You know, the wise person, they consider the consequences of their choices. That's why they're delivered from the snares of death. The fool does not consider consequences. They just want what they want right now. And they want the evil that's out there. But yet there's this huge net ready to trap them. I want to feel good. I hear that smoking pot is going to make my brain feel good. And so I'm going to try this. And you do. And you have no idea that the bondage you're putting yourself into and where that may lead. The fool doesn't consider those things. They just want what they want. They want to feel good, and they do it, and they have no idea the snares of death. Good understanding, verse 15, gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Isn't that true? If you're faithful to the Lord, things are just easier. Unfaithful, and things get hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. You know, the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, now then we, and by we I mean we, all of us, and you watching or listening right now, we are, not we should be, but we are. We all are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is our mission, to go find somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus and sit down with them and say, you are an enemy of God, pure and simple. But God wants to make you his friend. He actually wants to adopt you into his family, but it's got to be on his terms. I am an ambassador of God's kingdom. I am not a secret agent trying to hide out in this world and go unnoticed. I'm an ambassador for Christ. Too often, some behave like secret agents. And I remember very clearly when I was a freshman in college, my one semester at San Diego State University, and at the end of the semester, I told the guy I was a Christian. He goes, "You're a Christian?" I said, "Yeah, why are you surprised?" He goes, "Most Christians I know are different than I am, but you're no different than me." I was in a very backslidden state. And I realized, I got to get out of here. I got to repent. I was a secret agent. Lord calls us to be ambassadors. Verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains or hates correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. So be teachable, be correctable. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. When you finally get that thing done, oh, so good. But it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Fools hate being good. They love being evil. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Again, that reminder of Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, the way of the wicked leads him astray. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Again, whatever we sow, that we will reap. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of sinners is stored up for the righteous. And there are many stories out there of how riches and properties that were once owned by wicked people have eventually somehow, someway come into the hands of the godly using it for ministry. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. So Solomon is saying here that the poor and the hungry person might not be so poor and hungry if they would just start working. Get out there and plow your field. There's a lot of food that's out there, but you're not finding it because you're not plowing, you're not working. But then Solomon noticed also that sometimes people do get out there and they do work, but due to the powers on earth that be, sometimes they don't reap a harvest. Or sometimes others come in and take the harvest that they've worked so hard for. Notice in verse 23, for lack of justice, there is waste. Y'all know what pork barrel legislation is, right? Somebody wants to come up with a law. Like years ago that, every bus and every public form of transportation must stop at a railroad, and the bus driver has to open the doors and they're at the railroad tracks, make sure a train's not coming. That's a law. Well, within laws like that are other incentives, earmarks, things that have nothing to do with safety. But yet some politician wants to bless some constituent, some personal thing, and so millions upon millions, billions of dollars of earmarks have been put into these laws. Why? Lack of justice. There's waste. Now, why are we shocked? Do we really expect that world rulers would do what's right by people? Do we really expect, this isn't right and I'm mad? Why are you mad? Why are you upset? It's not right. Yeah, well, they're not right. That's the world, my friends. It's not the church. That's not the kingdom of God. That's a kingdom of man. We are in the world, but not of the world. We're passing through. This world is not our home. We're ambassadors for who? Christ. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then my servants would do what? Fight. If I find myself fighting against the kingdoms of this world, I have to ask myself, am I really of the kingdom of God? Or have I gotten embroiled in something I should not be embroiled with? Have I become distracted away from the Great Commission? Because I'm going to fight in this other arena. And Satan has home court advantage there, doesn't he? And I get fighting in that arena, I'm in trouble. Yeah, lack of justice, there is waste. There's so much waste. That's why we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if you become an elected official, then please change the system. And I'll be applauding you every step of the way. But for the rest of us, let's build God's kingdom one person at a time. Verse 24, to the modern parents who never spank their children or never discipline their kids, he who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, there's a difference between discipline and abuse. Let's make sure that's spelled out. However, there is a rod that is supposed to be used in godly correction of children. We had a rod, a wooden spoon. It was our rod. And it's discipline. It's not me being angry, making myself feel better by wearing out the backside of my son. It's discipline. Like, son, you know what you did was wrong. Yeah. Okay. What are we supposed to do? Well, I guess I need a spanking. Yes, you do. Lay across my lap and, you know, give him a couple, few firm whacks, and then it's over. It's done. Personally, I'm not a big fan of the timeout. I definitely am not a fan of the, I'm going to count to three. One. Come on. Just deal with your kid. If they're running amok and you know, they're acting crazy, don't count. I'm going to count to one. One. Here. Now. Let's deal with this. Grounding a person. It's just, he who loves him, the child, disciplines him promptly. So, if you're a parent of young kids, you just pray over these verses. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul. God promises to provide, does he not? And he has. But the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. God won't bless lazy, but he will bless the diligent hard worker. And when I look at my waistline, I say, praise the Lord, you are a good provider. Father, thank you for your word tonight. There's a lot of, well, all these are wise words to live by and to guide our lives. And Lord, we want to walk in these things. We want these things to be real to us. And where we are seeing ourselves not right, would you please get us right? Lord, we want to be correctable, not as the fool who says, I did it my way and no one's going to tell me what to do. Lord, we want to be open to the leading and the correction and the even the rebuke of the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you please correct us? And Lord, would you please use us? Lord, I do pray this ambassador for Christ issue would really, really speak to our hearts. That, Lord, you would be speaking to our hearts and minds about how this is to be lived out in us and through us. And Lord, these things that I've been hoping for, I really believe and I trust that these are things you want to do and you're going to bring them to pass soon. And so, Lord, my heart is not sick. I'm glad because I got your promise. And your promise is as good as done. And so, Lord, we're just looking forward to the day when you make not just these things happen, but the ultimate thing happen when we get to move out of these bodies into our brand new glorified body. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's kids said, amen. God bless you. Have a good night.